Today on More to Life, misery loves company. Is someone making your life miserable, either in the way they're treating you or in the choices they're making? Let us help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life. Right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, misery loves company. Yes, it does. And if somebody is making your life miserable, either because of the way they're treating you or because you're concerned about the choices they're making, let us help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825.
You know, you might be saying, no, it doesn't. Misery doesn't like company. I don't want the company of this miserable person in my life. No, when somebody is feeling miserable, often just because they are hurting in some way, shape, or form, they want to drag everybody into that. It somehow makes them feel a little less alone, a little bit better in some way. And then we're trying to figure out how to deal with them.
Well, and look, you know, and we want to be helpful and generous. It's
Absolutely.
Not that we don't want to be there for other people, but sometimes the things that the other people are doing are either hurtful to us or concerning to us, because maybe they're not taking it out on us, but they're hurting themselves in some way, or we're worried about them for some reason, and then they're resistant to our help. Or they get defensive, or they attack us when we try to intervene. They lash out in some way. I mean, you know, so the fact is, you know, when we're upset, you're right, Lisa, we do tend to take it out on other people. But the good news is there are ways to respond to those offensive words, hurtful actions, even self-destructive choices that people are making, that allow us to be helpful and be instruments of grace in their lives and instruments of healing in those relationships. So if you're wondering how to make that happen for you, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
I think it's important to point out that when we don't just allow people to suck us into their misery, to kind of put it all on us so they feel better, but then we're walking away depleted, wrung out, worried about them, going over and over it in our minds, or dealing with the emotional injury that they've caused us. When we don't allow them to do that in some way, we're actually working for their greater good. Because when somebody is walking around in a way that causes other people to be emotionally or spiritually or, God forbid, physically harmed, that's not okay for their soul. That's not okay for their well-being. And to be a true friend, a true person who loves them, we need to be working for their higher good and not just allowing them to get away with it because, you know, they're a hurting person.
Well, and you know, this happened to us recently. You know, somebody who was very close to us was not feeling great. And they were also going through a lot of stuff, just stressful things in their life. And it was causing her to lash out at us. And we knew that that's not what she wanted to do. We have a great relationship. We always get along pretty well. And we tried to let it go at first, you know, give her a chance to self-correct. But you know, it just was getting worse. And at some point, we just sort of had to say, hey, look, I know you're going through a rough time, and we want to be here for you. But this isn't okay. You know, what can we do to change this? And it was a great conversation. It actually bore a lot of good fruit. And, you know, we were able to reaffirm the fact that we wanted to be there for her and support her through this difficult time. But, you know, that we really needed her to try not to take it out on us quite so much. And it wasn't an easy conversation, but it was a really good one. And we want to help you have those kinds of discussions with the people who are making you a little miserable these days. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
And of course, you can change the names to protect the innocent. If you're saying, I don't want to complain about this person, that's okay. Just, you know, tell us the situation. You don't have to share too much if you're a little concerned about that. But we want to connect you with God's grace and some real skills so that both you and that other person can get into a better place in your individual lives and perhaps in your relationship. So let's help you out today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share, has someone treated you harshly or repeatedly hurt you, and you're just not sure how to respond without either just getting angry or shutting down? Maybe you're concerned about someone in your life whose behavior seems somehow self-destructive or harmful to them or you. Maybe you've tried to confront that person about their behavior, but the conversation turned into shame, blame, or defensiveness. Maybe you're feeling stuck between wanting to forgive somebody and restore that relationship and wanting to set boundaries because they keep doing that thing that hurts. Is there a person you care about who seems to need help changing their behavior, but you're not sure how to raise the issue because you don't want to hurt them or make things worse? Whatever the situation is, let us help you address those situations where someone in your life is kind of making you a little miserable. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, you know, how could some theology help me deal with the people who are making my life difficult, either because of the way they're treating me or the decisions they're making in their own lives? Well, glad you asked. So here's the thing. When St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we took everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And that theology of the body reminds us that every person, no matter how difficult or rude or antagonistic, is created in the image and likeness of God. That truth challenges us to look past someone's bad behavior and see the person behind it. As St. John Paul II wrote in his book, Love and Responsibility, that authentic love, quote, takes up the challenge of the person, unquote. And people can be challenging. And that means we're called to love others in ways that draw out their best selves, even when they're acting as their worst selves.
Well, when someone is obnoxious or irritating, offensive, or even, you know, self-destructive, or just making poor choices that are causing us to worry about them, the surprising truth is there's always a godly intention or unmet need that's driving that behavior. Now, that doesn't excuse the hurtful or destructive or questionable things they're doing, but it gives us a charitable place to start to intervene. You know, rather than attacking the other person for their behavior, we can take a breath and ask questions that reveal the underlying need for connection or respect or love that got lost in the delivery.
For instance, we could say, what you did was hurtful, but I don't think you meant it that way. Can you help me understand what you were trying to do? Or could you tell me how you were hoping I'd respond to you? This approach helps us stand strong in our own God-given dignity while reminding the other person of theirs.
And now, of course, if the other person continues to engage in those hurtful or concerning behaviors, well, we certainly can and even should set charitable boundaries that protect us from their actions and call them to repentance. Healthy boundaries don't shut people down or even shut them out. They close the door on harmful behavior while opening the door to a healthier way forward.
So when we choose this strong but loving and compassionate approach, we become cooperators with God's healing love. even in difficult interactions with others, we're giving grace a chance to work.
So let us help you give grace a chance to work in your life and relationships on our show today titled Misery Loves Company. Is someone making you a little miserable? Either in the way that they're treating you, you know, that spouse that's lashing out at you because they're going through a stressful time, that kid who is really getting under your skin with their behavior and the choices that they're making, that adult child who you're concerned about because of the way they're living, that family member or friend who you'd like to help in some way, but they just keep pushing you away or lashing out at you, becoming defensive or hostile when you try. Let us help you discover the grace-filled solutions that lead to more peaceful and satisfying relationships, even with the difficult people in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those situations where someone is treating us poorly or making poor decisions that are causing us to be concerned for them. Those situations that weigh heavily on our hearts and minds and take up space and drain us of our emotional energy in trying to know how to deal with them respectfully, charitably, effectively. Help us to know how to respond to those situations in ways that don't cause us to either lash out ourselves or shut down, but enable that person to identify the need or intention behind their behavior and find healthy, godly, grace-filled ways to help them meet those needs or intentions better moving forward, so that they can experience us not as the enemy, but as a partner in helping them meet their needs and helping them get where they need to go and helping them feel heard and cared for, all the while protecting ourselves from those unhealthy or hurtful behaviors. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Misery Loves Company. We're talking about those times when somebody's making us miserable, either because of the way they're treating us, you know, they're lashing out at us, they're being defensive, they're being hostile, they're not being receptive to our concerns when we try to raise them, or because we're concerned about the choices they're making or the way they're living, and we don't know how to be supportive in a way that won't cause them to lash out at us or be defensive or hostile or feel judged. What do we do in those situations? Give us a call. Let us help you out at 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Kathleen in Pennsylvania sent us an email through questions at moretoliferadio.com. She said, I'm so sick of repeated arguments with my mother. She gets waspish if we have to change anything she wants. We would always go to her house for Sunday dinner after church. But now my husband, who is a music minister at our church, is playing 3 masses a weekend, and he's exhausted, and our 3-year-old twins need naps as well, so we just don't think that it works best for our family anymore. My mother is acting like I'm horrible for putting my husband and children's needs ahead of her desire to keep the tradition. This is just one example of the many things she picks fights about with me, and I don't know how to not fight with her about it when she can be so unyielding. I don't want to be enemies with my mother, but she's making it very hard not to be. That's Kathleen in Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Kathleen, for the question. Okay, so this is a perfect example, actually, of what we're talking about here. I mean, on the surface, we have this sort of really hurtful, you know, kind of seemingly controlling behavior. And it's easy to get defensive about this and just react to it, you know, in the same hostile way that you're being treated. But here's a perfect example of how there is a positive intention or need behind that behavior, that if you can address it, there might be some ways forward. You know, your mom, obviously, is concerned about being able to keep the family together, about being able to stay close to you guys, to have a good relationship with the grandkids and with you, right? And she was really counting on those Sunday dinners as a touchstone, as her primary way of maintaining that relationship. And so while you are, you know, rightfully focused on the fact that your husband's exhausted, your kids are cranky, and you need to get that, you know, that time to rest up, she's worried that she's going to lose you all. So, you know, instead of getting defensive or frustrated, what I would like you to say to your mom is, look, Mom, I understand how important these Sunday dinners have been to all of us so that we can stay connected to each other and you can have, you know, maintain your relationship with us and with the grandkids. I think that's wonderful, and I want that. I want to keep that up. But the way we've been doing that isn't working anymore. Here are some other ideas I've got for ways that we could stay connected and get some time together every week, of things we could do that would help us, you know, get that time that you want and that we all want together.
Right. So you could suggest, I mean, you have to look at your family schedule, but you have to say, you know, could we move it to Wednesday night dinners? Can we do brunch on a Saturday morning? Can we, whatever. You have to figure out what would work for you. You know, with a growing family, you know, you've got 3-year-old twins, it's just going to get a little crazier from here. You want to come up with a schedule and a plan that works for the now, but can be flexible as they grow. So you could say, well, let's do something once every 2 weeks. But let her know, hey, Mom, we're not kicking you out of our lives. We do appreciate you giving us this whole meal once a week, but this is just not working for us, and we need to come up with another plan. We don't want to make you work harder. Maybe we meet at a restaurant. Maybe we just, you know, do something simple like a breakfast. But we need to do something besides just this tradition, because this isn't working for us.
Right. Well, and the point is, this is an example of a charitable boundary too, because what you're doing is you're closing the door to something that doesn't work, but you're opening the door to things that could work for you, and then you're inviting your mom to walk through that. Now, if she gets defensive and kind of latches onto, no, this is the one and only way that we can stay connected, it's okay to say, well, that doesn't work for us anymore, Mom, so I'm sorry we can't do that. But here are the ways that would work, or you're welcome to think of other ways and let me know, and we'll talk it out, because we still do want to have that time with you. Right, so you're meeting her need, and you're proposing ideas that would meet her need, that in ways that would work for you, but you're also putting boundaries around the things that wouldn't work. So this is a perfect example of what we're talking about here, that there's always some positive intention or need behind those irritating, frustrating, even destructive behaviors that we are, you know, either concerned by or hurt by, and if we can just address those intentions, that gives us at least a way forward. So try this out with your mom. Let us know how it works. And if you need more coaching, don't hesitate to give us a call here on More to Life. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Is someone treating you harshly or repeatedly hurting you, and you're just not sure how to respond without, you know, getting angry or shutting down? Are you concerned about somebody in your life whose behavior seems questionable at best, or harmful to them or you? Are you unsure how to address your concerns with that person without them becoming defensive or hostile or lashing out in some way? Let us help you address those difficult people and situations in your life today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He'll be sharing how the virtue of humility can help us break through these kinds of barriers with the difficult people in our life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next. This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Misery Loves Company. Is someone making your life miserable, either because of the way they're treating you or because you're concerned about the choices they're making? We want to help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He is a pastor, a counselor, and an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Thank you. Great being here.
Well, it's good to have you. And you wanted to talk about the virtue of humility and what it is and what it isn't and how it can help us break through some of these barriers, especially when we're dealing with people we experience as difficult for some reason.
Yeah, it's something that I use a lot. I try to remind myself of that when it's a time of dealing with someone difficult. I think to myself, okay, Tom, you got to be humble. The word humility sometimes sounds like a weakness, like we just sort of sit there and be pious, put our head down, fold our hands together, and take a pounding. It's not what it is. Humility is actually a very, very powerful thing, because it's related to the word humus, meaning like that very, very rich, dark soil that things grow in, that is very fertile. And how does that soil get that way? By taking on garbage. So you think of yourself as taking on someone's garbage. Okay, you're taking their hit. They're throwing the garbage at you, the way they're delivering things to you, their message and so on. But you sort of stand in there, make sure through body language, make sure you're communicating to them, I am with you. I'm with you. Go ahead, give me your hit. Give me your garbage. I'm with you. And then calmly, be defensive. Don't be thinking about your next defensive comeback to prove them wrong or to tell them they're what they did to you. Not right away. Ask them after they're done. Pause a little bit. Then ask them, okay, this is what I think you're telling me. This is the message. So, like, I'll say, so this is what you're trying to say. This is what you're concerned about. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to go, yeah, that's right. And then they'll start to melt. Then you can also tell them that about their delivery, that it was hurtful, but you focus on what they're really trying to say. Most people just want to be heard today, because we don't listen to each other today. You know, it's always a battle between proving someone's right or wrong, or a battle of wills and thinking about your next comeback. But people just want to be heard. That's the big principle of theology of the body, the person. Be present to the person, hear them out, no matter how they're delivering it, and then try to get at what their message is, really, what they're trying to tell you. It's not so much the words, it's the message. If you can pinpoint that message, you'd be amazed at how that changes things, how people can melt. They may at first say, yeah, that's right, that's what I'm trying to tell you, you know. But then you can say, okay, I think I understand this. Well, how about this and how about that? Or can you look at this way? Then you'll be surprised. They'll start to kind of melt. Then you can start to have a dialogue with them. And so that's the principle that I use. I like to reduce things to one, or like a singular principle of spirituality, like theology of the body gives us, you know, the whole idea of gift of self. I like to reduce things like in those hard moments like that with a person like that to that word humility. I just keep telling myself, okay, you got to be hummus here, Tom. Got to be hummus. Take it and then turn it into something good. And that's why humility is such a profoundly powerful virtue, because it bests, it like bests, it tops the bad, you know, because it turns it to good. Very much like Christ on the cross, same principle. I'll take on all your sin, all your garbage, and I'm going to turn it into glory. I'm going to redeem it and turn it into glory. And that's the principle that I like to use.
Well, and I appreciate you clarifying what humility really is versus what it isn't, because you're right. I think, generally speaking, we tend to think of humility as, you know, debasing ourselves. And it's really not about debasement. It's about, you know, being that good soil that God can plant, you know, those seeds of grace in that allow us to do good things and bear good fruit. Father Loy, I want to thank you for being with us today. And if folks would like to learn more about your ministry, I encourage them to go to taborlife.org. That's Tabor, T-A-B-O-R, like the mountain, taborlife.org. Have a great week, Father Loy, and thanks again for being with us.
Thank you. You too.
And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Is somebody in your life making things a little hard for you? You know, maybe they're being difficult in the way they're treating you, speaking to you disrespectfully, being inconsiderate or hurtful in their actions toward you. Or maybe it's just that they're making choices that you're concerned about, that you know just aren't in their best interests, or you're worried that they're not good for them, but you're not sure how to raise those issues without them becoming defensive or hostile in some way. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll help you deal with those difficult relationships.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
When did Jesus reveal the existence of the Holy Spirit? Though the Lord alluded to the Spirit in speaking to Nicodemus and to the Samaritan woman, the Catholic Catechism tells us Jesus did not fully reveal the Holy Spirit until he himself had been glorified through his death and resurrection. Little by little, nevertheless, Jesus did also refer to the Holy Spirit, even when teaching to the multitudes, as when he says his own flesh will be food for the life of the world. When the hour for his glorification arrives, Jesus actually promises the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth, the other Paraclete, says the Catechism, will be given by the Father in answer to Jesus' prayer. He will be sent by the Father in Jesus' name. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Did you know that research shows that married couples who find time to connect in meaningful ways tend to be happier and more resilient? It's not just about going out for a date now and then. It's about connecting in simple, ordinary ways on a daily and weekly basis. It's about finding ways to work, play, talk, and pray together instead of individually. For example, when couples choose to make a meal or clean up the kitchen together, that experience can nurture a sense of teamwork and collaboration that spills over into other areas of their relationship. Couples can connect by regularly doing something fun together, too. It doesn't need to be big. It might be as simple as reading a book together or taking an interest in one another's hobbies. As small as these rituals of connection might seem, over time, they create a deep, solid foundation for any marriage. They create the time couples need to share experiences, relate on a deeper level, and build a shared life together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to find faithful help with your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome to More to Life. Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Misery Loves Company. We're talking about those people that can make us miserable, both in the way they treat us or the concerns they give us about the way they're living, the choices they're making.
Yeah, perhaps they're just so miserable in how they're living their lives that you're really concerned, but you don't know what to do. You're a little afraid that if you insert yourself too much, it'll be kind of toxic for you and yours. But you also feel like you can't just let them stew in it. What would God want you to do in this situation? You want to be charitable, but it's complicated. We're here to help you with all of that today and move from that misery into something proactive and healthy for all of you. If you give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
With that, let's go to the next caller. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're talking with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maine.
Hi, Stephanie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. How are you today?
We're good. What can we do for you?
Yeah, so it's to deal with my sister. She's a couple years older than me, and we've competed our entire lives, or where I felt like she's competed emotionally with me. I'm her measuring stick. If I fail, she's happy because then she doesn't feel as badly about herself.
Oh, fun.
And she's the person who I have to put myself back together again after visiting with her. She just overwhelms me. And my husband helped me put myself back together after our visits. And he passed away last year.
And I'm so sorry.
Some things happened at the funeral that were very, between her and I, that were very difficult.
Oh,
and
wow.
I explained to her why I needed some space, and she accepted that, but I'm getting ready to talk with her again, and I just want to know the best way to approach her.
And why are you getting ready to talk with her again? In what sense? You're just saying, okay, it's been a year, it's time to heal this because it's the right thing to do? Is it because the holidays are coming up? Has she tried to contact you and pressured you? Where are things at, both in the relationship and in your mindset?
It's just the right thing to do. I've started texting her again more recently, just little things. Happy anniversary. How you doing? The kids did this, a picture. And it's just time.
Can you give us an example of the kind of thing that she does? Like maybe walk us through a specific situation that would illustrate what she does that's hard for you to deal with.
Yep. So this is what this is our pattern, and this is what I explained to her, and she in a letter, and she accepted it and said she'd be ready to wait for me. We have a cousin. He's my age, and I'm really close with him, and he and I really got close the last few years. And especially he got very close with my husband, and she got jealous of that relationship. She would say things like, well, I suppose he already knows that, and things like that. He has an aunt and uncle that we were very close with in childhood. And my sister called them to let them know that my husband was ill, how ill he was. And it was unusual for her to call them. So when we were all together for Easter, I just said, hey, what made you call them? That was really nice. You know, they called me and it was a good talk, but what made you call them? And she looked right at my cousin and said she didn't want our aunt and uncle to find out secondhand about my husband. And so I looked at her and I said, well, but she still did. And then she went outside and cried, oh, poor me, I always do things wrong. And then I comforted her. And so that's our pattern, is she does something wrong, and I comfort her and say, it's all right. But it's not.
Well, can we, so help me understand, when you say that she did something wrong, what was wrong about what she did in your eyes? I'm trying to understand in that example what the problem was.
she made me feel like the only reason she called them was to make herself more important, to give herself a role, because she felt left out, because she looked right at my cousin and said she didn't.
You're reading into that, though, Stephanie. I got to say, I mean, like, I'm sure there are other examples, but you don't really know where she was looking or what she was thinking. That's all you filled in those blanks. You know, so if she, unless she said to you, I only called because, you know, for whatever, like, then that's really kind of an uncharitable interpretation on your part.
I think that, you know, it's very possible that your interpretation is correct. We bring a lot of stuff with us into our adulthood that came from sibling interactions as we were growing up, and we feel like this person's never going to change. They wished me ill. It's going to just be this way, and so we look at that through that filter sometimes. But the fact that she was willing to step back when you told her to and just wait for you, at least that says to me there's an invitation there to clean up some of the unhealthy predispositions of childhood and move on to a healthier adult relationship with her now.
I appreciate that this probably isn't what you were hoping to hear, but let me suggest a way forward with this. You know, that goes to the whole idea of charitable interpretation, which is what we were talking about. You know, in the example that you gave, right, you basically decided that she was doing something wrong and accused her of doing something wrong, which caused her to then react the way she did because she felt attacked, right? And you felt justified in saying that because, you know, you were 100% sure that you could read her mind and read her intentions, and then you called her out. But then she felt hurt because in her mind you misunderstood her intentions, right? So the pattern that needs to change here is really between the two of you. And I would really like you to download the podcast for the show and listen to our reflection again, because at the beginning of the show we talked about the importance of assuming a positive intention behind the behavior, you know, and saying, oh, well, she needs to be in control or she needs to make herself feel better than me. That's not a positive intention. That's you ascribing negative intention to her behavior. So the way we do this is by saying to that person, hey, look, there was just something about the way you said that or did that seemed kind of hurtful. But what were you trying to do? What did you mean by that? And then we have to accept what they say. Right. Sometimes we'll ask that question and the person will tell us what they meant by it or what they were trying to do. And then we say, well, that's not what you were really trying to do. I know what you were really. You're just saying that now because you want to make yourself look better. No, we have to accept what they say and say, OK, well, if that's really what you're trying to do, then in the future, could you do this instead or say that instead? Right.
So you give them a way, because even if they say something that, no, this was my intention, and you still have that sense that your sister is maybe being a little manipulative or maybe not being as honest about her intention. Okay, but the door has been opened to the idea of, if you say that's your intention and something like this would happen in the future, I'd prefer it if you handle it this way. And like, you really think about what would work, what would open the door for her being supportive or helpful or good sister to you in your definition of it, and you give her that way to move forward, which is what you're asking here. How do you repair things? You look for the positive intention, and you have the dialogues that tell her how to meet the positive intention in a way that feels healthy and safe to you.
You know, originally where I thought you were going to go with this was that you were going to say that you didn't really want other people knowing that your husband was sick then, and that if you wanted them to know, you wanted it to come from you, and that you were upset with your sister for kind of, you know, stepping on that boundary. But that isn't what you said. You know, what you said was that you know, she looked at your cousin and then said, I didn't want to hear, you know, we had them to hear secondhand. So the offense that you took here was really all you reading into the situation, right? And we have to really be careful about the negative intentions that we ascribe to other people's behavior.
Now, I want to say, Stephanie, with all my heart, all my condolences to you, with what you've been going through for well over a year, the illness of your husband, the loss of your husband, you said this kind of blew up at the funeral. This is a natural reaction to all of those things where you are hurting, you are scared, there's all this stuff going on that's rocking your world, And we almost everyone who is going through some kind of grief journey will get angry at the people who are closest to them, their family members. It notoriously happens around the illness or death of a person. So I think that you've had the year, as you've said. It's time to start reaching back out to her. I applaud you for texting her and sending her little, you know, things that have begun to build this bridge. But if you want that healthy way forward where you two can be sisters and supportive of each other from here on in, this is the way to go about it. You're doing some of the right things. Give yourself some grace for being in so much pain for all this time. It's a lot, and it causes us to not be able to react or think as clearly as we want to in these situations. But I think you can move on from here in a much healthier way together.
And clearly there are some landmines, you know, that have been laid in your long relationship with your sister that are going to be hard to avoid as you reach back out to her. So I'm going to also ask you to pray about whether it wouldn't be a good idea to reach out, say, for example, to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn how to heal some of those inner wounds that might cause you to read into the thing, certain things that your sister is doing, or ascribe negative intentions to some of the things that she's done, or whenever she is being offensive, how to address it in a way that doesn't blow things up so that she starts getting upset and you have to comfort her. I think that a lot of that has to do with how we read the other person's intentions and how we respond to what we perceive as offenses, rather than really the other person necessarily being objectively offensive. So if we can support you through that, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for the call, Stephanie. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our show is titled Misery Loves Company. We're just talking about the people that kind of make us a little miserable around the edges, you know, the folks who maybe treat us in ways that are hurtful or disrespectful or unkind, or those people that we are concerned for because they're making choices that we're worried about. And either way, we end up feeling stressed and anxious and frustrated in that relationship. How can we respond gracefully? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
I think it's important to note here that misery, whether it's our own or someone inflicting it on us, really sneaks up on us. So as Catholic Christian people, we want to be charitable. We know we're called to that. So we are there for it for a little while. We help that person in a way, or we give ourselves the grace because we're going through something. But it can build up and build up and build up and really begin to cause some very confusing pain and some very confusing situations in our relationship. So let us help you untangle those knots today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2.
If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness.
And St. Paul is talking about exactly what we're discussing here today, this need to be gentle in correcting. And the way we do that, it's not just by using a nice tone of voice or using soft words. It's really by assuming that they were trying to do something good. It just came out badly. And if we can say to that person, look, I'm sure you didn't mean to be hurtful, or I'm sure you're trying to do a good thing here, but I'm just worried that the way you're going about it is not working. Or I was kind of hurt by the way you said it. What were you trying to do? And can we think about some different ways to handle that moving forward? When we're able to restore, to respond in that spirit of gentleness, then we can do what St. Paul is talking about here in his letter to the Galatians and help that person who's transgressed in some way be restored. 877-573-7825. When we come back, more with your calls about those people who are difficult to deal with for whatever reason on our show titled Misery Loves Company. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues in just a minute.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at avemariaradio.net. That's avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Misery Loves Company. We're talking about those people that we care about who kind of make us a little miserable, either because of the way they treat us or because of the choices they're making, and they keep us worried about them. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to respond. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Austin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma on Oklahoma Catholic Radio.
Hi, Austin. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, yes. I just had a question, about how I could connect with my sister when it just seems like nothing I do is good enough.
Can you give me an example?
For my own family. Yeah, we were living in the same state and we just moved out of state for our own personal family reasons, and she was so angry and wanted to know all the reasons why we were moving, and I know she's hurt because we're moving to a different state, but I told her all the reasons, and it's just every reason is that's a horrible reason. And we've gone twice to visit since we've moved in the last year, and every time we've gone to visit, it just has not been a good visit. It started to be now she's questioning the way I parent and questioning all the friendships I have with people, or why are all my friends Catholic, or yeah, so... That's my question.
So is your sister not Catholic?
Yeah, I'm the only Catholic in my family, so.
So here's what I'm getting. Okay, and I mean, what you're describing, is obviously offensive and obnoxious, but I think that, this is another example of what we've been talking about, and especially related to the first question that we took on the show here from the woman whose mother was mad that they didn't want to do the Sunday dinners anymore.
Yeah.
I think in both cases, the both examples that you're giving me is that your sister, is afraid of losing her connection with you. And so instead of just saying, "Hey, Austin, I'm really going to miss you. It's really going to be hard to be apart. How can we make sure we stay connected?" Instead of being vulnerable and honest about that, she's picking on the decision to move out of the state, or she's picking on your decision to strengthen your Catholic relationships because she's not Catholic, and that's just one more thing that excludes her from your life. The way she's going about it is really ham-fisted and offensive, but I think the intention behind it is to say, "I love you and I want to be connected to you." So what I would suggest to you is to reach out to her and say, "Hey, look, I I've been thinking a lot about our relationship, and the things that you say, when you criticize my parenting, or you criticize our move, or you, you know, look for the reasons I'm doing this. I get the feeling that what you're really saying to me is that you miss me and you're afraid that I'm leaving you behind and that we don't have things in common and we're not going to have a good connection. I mean, is that what you're really trying to say to me through all of that? And if so, could we talk more about how to have a better connection instead of you trying to get it by attacking me? and just put it out there directly. I'm guessing that's what's going on. And she may or may not be capable of having that more direct, vulnerable, healthy relationship. And if she's not, then it's okay to set those boundaries and say, look, I want to be here for you, but you're kind of too prickly. And if you can, you know, approach me honestly and say, hey, I miss you. Can we get a call, or can we schedule a visit, or can you, and you know, approach you in appropriate and healthy ways that I can be, you know, I can be here for you. But if you're going to keep doing this, then I have to keep my distance, right? So you can let her know that. But I would say start the conversation by just saying, you know, as I was really praying and reflecting on our relationship and the way that we've been interacting with each other, it occurs to me that kind of behind your criticism of us moving and your attacking of my parenting, or your you know, expressing your concerns about my Catholic friends, that what you're really saying to me is that you feel like we've got less and less in common and that you miss me and you'd really like to find some ways to stay connected to me. Is that right? And see what she does with that.
And if she even begins to say that, you might be right. And with somebody with that kind of level of skill, she might go, well, yeah, but this, you know, and automatically go back on the attack and say, hold on a second, you said yeah, but let's talk about the yeah. How can we stay more connected? Do you want to do a once every 2 week Zoom dinner together where we can, you know, be with each other's families over Zoom and talk to each other and catch up on the news and see each other's kids? When would you like to come out and visit and meet some of the folks that I'm hanging out with and spend some time together? I've come twice. You know, we could set up other times where you can come out, or we can meet at a state halfway between us so that we have some time together. What can we do to not just hold on to a relationship, but enhance the relationship? If she's willing to do those positive things, then go ahead and keep building this. But do not think that because you are the one that moved, that you are the only one responsible for holding this together. If you're putting in all the effort to pick up your whole family and go visit, if you're picking up all the effort to be the one to call or text, realize that that's a message in and of itself, and don't twist yourself into a pretzel if your sister isn't willing to do some of the heavy lifting.
Well, and also, and along those same lines, you know, I mean, we're trying to give her the benefit of the doubt and assuming this positive intention, but if she continues to express that positive intention in hurtful, offensive ways,
yep,
it's okay to set boundaries on that and let her know, look, I love you and I want to be around you. I'd like to spend more time with you, but, you know, instead of just saying to me, hey, I miss you, can we get some time together, you just pick on me all the time. And if you're going to be, if that's the way it's going to be, I can't be around as much as I'd like to. And then, so you let her know, you know, I get the intention, I get what you're trying to do, but the way you're going about it is really hurtful, and it's making me need to distance myself from you. So what's it going to be? And then you give her that healthy way forward, but you shut the door to the unhealthy behavior at the same time. I hope that gives you some clarity on how to move forward. We do talk about this more in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's really a book on how to set charitable boundaries that don't shut people down or shut them out, but close the door to unhealthy behaviors while opening the door to a healthier relationship moving forward, if that person wants to walk through that door. Again, thanks for the call, Austin. And listeners, we have been taking your calls throughout the program about dealing with difficult people on our show titled Misery Loves Company. And there are some people who just do make us miserable, either because of the way they treat us or because of the choices they're making in their lives. And either way, there are ways to approach that person that can bear fruit and ways that will pour gas on the fire. One of the hardest things, and I mean, to do is really what we're talking about here on the show, the idea of assuming a positive intention or need behind the obnoxious, irritating, frustrating, even self-destructive behavior that people engage in. And again, that doesn't mean we excuse that behavior. It gives us a way in, though. And a lot of times when I try to present this at first, people are like, oh, well, that's not, I mean, you know, that there couldn't possibly be any reason that person would have a positive intention behind that. That's just a bad thing to do. Ask yourself this question. If I were to do that behavior, What is it that I would be trying to accomplish? And let your, and get your pride out of the way. Because initially, when I pose that question to people, they, well, I would never do that. Say, yeah, but what kind of pressure would you have to be under in order for you to justify that? What kind of pain would you have to be in order to justify acting that way? It starts to open up your eyes to what those intentions are. Again, that doesn't excuse the behavior, but it gives you a way to address it charitably. And if you're looking for support in making that happen in your relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.